Welcome to Missionize with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Welcome to Missionize. Thank you for joining us today. I am your co-host Clint here with Dr. Sam, and we are ready to jump into today's topic. And we've had some awesome guests the last few episodes, Dr. Sam.
We have. It was such a pleasure having Sandy Wisdom Martin and Jeff Ginn and others. So what do we have today?
Well, today they're stuck with me and you. So please don't turn off. Continue to listen as we discuss today the globally minded church. Now, as we have said from the beginning, we want this podcast to be biblically based. And as we think about the globally minded church, immediately my mind goes to the Great Commission, where we're told to make disciples of all nations. We see Acts 1:8, we're told you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The early church was globally minded. We see they took those commands seriously. We see them send Paul out on missionary journeys. The support that was generated by the established churches during that time. We see Paul's desire to go to the ends of the earth, to go to Rome at that time. And so today we're going to jump into this concept of a globally minded church. Now, we've talked a lot in the previous episodes about local missions and outreach. And one of the reasons is because that's our focus here at the convention and helping churches do that. But in churches that we pastored, we led those churches to be globally minded. And the temptation, I believe, Dr. Sam, is to be one or the other. So in your pastoral ministry, how did you find that balance?
Hey, that's a great question there. And I think it all goes back to the Great Commission, just like you're talking about, whether you're talking about Matthew or you're talking about Acts 1:8. What we did in the churches that I pastored, especially in the most previous church, is we were very intentional on developing an Acts 1:8 strategy that included Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, you know, not leaving any of those out, knowing that this Great Commission is huge, and each of those areas are just as important as the other. And so what we attempted to do, and did with a fair amount of success, was to have at least one partnership in each of those areas. And then once we had that strategy developed, then of course, you know, I preached on the Great Commission often. It wasn't that Matthew 28, Acts 1:8 was the text for every sermon, but we found ways, and pastors who have this global mindset find ways of introducing and reminding the church of those missional themes that run throughout Scripture, you know. And then we taught. There's that discipleship piece. That strategy was part of our training for our first connection event, which was something we did for people who were considering membership, but then also for our Membership Matters class, where we made sure that we walked with each of our new members through, here's the strategy that we have. This is why this is important.
I think the key to that is intentionality.
Yeah,
you were intentional about an Acts 1:8 strategy, intentional in preaching, intentional in including that, things that you shared with people. And so I think that is the maybe a theme that runs through each one of these characteristics. So we're going to look at 10 characteristics of a globally minded church. And we are using as a launching point a couple of older blogs written by Dr. Chuck Lawless, who I believe is one of the gems of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Man, Chuck is awesome. And if you're not listening to his podcast, reading his articles, you need to do that. Chuck. We have relationship with Chuck, both of us in different areas. Chuck and I were seminary students. together at Southern Seminary, and you have a relationship as a mentoring type relationship as well, right?
That's right. Yeah, just some continuing ed type stuff I did as a pastor with him, but also well before then, just reading his blogs and listening to him. And again, it just seems like every time he writes something or says something, just full of gold. And so let's jump into these 10 characteristics. First characteristic of a globally minded church is that the members of a globally minded church recognize that global missions is a commitment of the congregation. Mm. So it's not just the leader. The leader is casting vision, but also helping others buy into that vision too. And if the members don't know this commitment, the commitment is probably not that strong.
Yeah, yeah. And that's an important point there. You know, when it comes to a vision, that this is more than just words on a piece of paper. If it just becomes a document that the pastor has written, has authored, then that's one thing. So it's more than just words on a piece of paper. It's a vision that is cast by the pastor, but that vision needs to be owned by the congregation. So how does that happen? How do we lead the church in owning this vision of reaching the nations?
Chuck makes the statement. He said, "The pastor bleeds for the nations." Strong, mission-minded churches are led by pastors who usually wonder why God hasn't yet freed them to go to the nations.
Yeah, that's so true. You and I have had those discussions in the past. I think that this particular point really centers on the importance of communicating that vision to the congregation, that you start small with a smaller group, and then you expand, you know, to the larger group. Yeah. But you keep it in front of the people. Now, we did that in a lot of different ways at First Stuttgart. One of those ways that we found really beneficial, that really caught on, is in the last few years of ministry there, we developed this image of a triangle, simple triangle, that we called our discipleship triangle. And basically each leg had one of the aspects of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus who makes disciples. Love and know God, connect and grow through the church, serve and go with the gospel. And so those were the three primary focus of the church, and serve and go with the gospel was got just as much attention as the other. So when we developed that, man, that just gave our folks a visual, you know, that they could look at and remember. So more than just words on a piece of paper, you know, it became a vision of the church. So that's number one. Number two is this: a globally minded church's budget and its giving reflect a commitment to global missions. Now, giving is sometimes the easiest way to support missions, but it's still a necessary way. It's a necessary way to help others reach the nations. Chuck says that a church who consumes their budget on themselves is likely only inwardly focused. Now, Clint, there's so much here we could dive into. So here's what we're going to do, listeners. We're going to devote an entire segment, I believe it's the next segment we have coming up in a couple of weeks, to this particular characteristic on the church's budget and a missional, being intentional in budgeting for mission. So that's the first two. What's number three?
Number three is that a globally minded church schedules ongoing or at least annual events to emphasize missions. And they're committed to securing participation for those events. It's simply not enough to put it on a church calendar, that globally minded churches work hard to encourage members to participate. Now, that could be different kinds of events. That could be a missions fair, as part of your Sunday service, or maybe on a Sunday evening. It could be a missions conference that's a week long or a weekend where you just have the various opportunities for your people to plug in. Missions partners that you have, that could be local, state, national, to the ends of the earth. But then also, I think focusing on our weeks of prayer that we have at Southern Baptist.
Yeah.
Lottie at Christmas, Dixie at Easter, or excuse me, Annie at Easter, Dixie in the fall. Your local association probably has an emphasis as well. But taking those times, looking at those prayer guides, that's some great material
great
that educates
material.
People, one, on missions and the opportunities that are there, but also really gives them heart for the nation. So it doesn't have to be a big event as much as it is just an emphasis for a set amount of time.
Yeah. And again, this kind of goes with characteristic number one on the importance of communication.
That's
we're,
right.
We're casting that vision, but then we have these other communication tools of keeping that vision in front of the church, and annual event, that focus, whether it's a weekend, whether it's an entire week, whether it's just one Sunday, really is beneficial to keep the vision in front of the church. Now, number four, globally minded church leaders continually call out the called to go to the nations. We hear a lot about calling out the called. The strongest globally minded churches have senior leaders whose hearts beat for the nations. You touched on that when you said that the pastor bleeds for the nations. And they regularly challenge their best to consider God's call to go to the world. They rejoice at sending members rather than regret their loss. Now, can we just say that I'm sure each of us have some folks that we would gladly send.
Every pastor has that list.
And we would throw a huge party if they received a calling from God to go. But this is really a mindset shift, Clint, because selfishly, we want to keep our best.
Right.
I mean, these are folks that we've had a hand in discipling, in turning loose and setting them loose in ministry in the church. But what globally minded church leaders know is that when God calls out the best from your congregation, it's not subtraction. It's really multiplication.
That's right.
It's a mindset shift. And what happens, and I've seen it happen, you've seen it happen, is that God raises up new leaders who then become the best.
Yeah.
And you know what's probably going to happen at some point in their future as well. God's going to call them out to go. And and isn't that what the Great Commission is all about?
That's
right. It's about making disciples who make disciples. And God has this way of calling out the best. What an incredible reminder to us.
Yeah, I'm sure the early church wasn't real excited to lose Paul and Barnabas, but yet laid their hands on them and sent them out.
Sent them out. Yeah.
And we have to do the same still. Number five, a globally minded church has missionaries speak regularly at their church. So one of the best ways to promote missions is to get to know believers who are giving their lives for this work. Somehow, when you know a name, when you see a face, you hear a story, that just dramatically turns our hearts outwardly to the nations.
Yeah.
It's one thing, the IMB does a great job of giving us stories of missionaries on their website and in print form. It's one thing to read those stories, but it's another level when you have that missionary in person telling his or her own story of how they have seen God move, how they've witnessed God's faithfulness, and how the prayers and the giving of God's people have sustained them.
Yeah. Hey, Clint, did you know, I know you know this, but listeners, did you know that as an SBC church, you have a missionary that has been assigned to you?
That's right.
That's an initiative that Dr. Chitwood has begun, and it grew out of a realization that there was a disconnect between our field personnel, our missionaries, and the local church. You see, although through Cooperative Program and Lottie Moon, we know that we support thousands of missionaries all over the world. Most churches, though, really don't personally know a missionary. And Dr. Chitwood came to the realization that's a reality, and that's a sad reality, and we need to change that. So we've got some good news. You can know who your missionary is, and there are a couple of ways of finding out who that missionary is that has been assigned to your local church. Regardless of the size of the church, you have an IMB missionary that has been assigned to you. So here's how you can discover that. You can go to absc.org/who-is-our-missionary, and there's a form there to complete, and we will begin that process and get that information and get that back to you and introduce you to the IMB missionary that's been assigned to your church. Or you can just email the IMB at info@imb.org and ask that question, and they will do that for you.
And I'll just say, if you're a pastor that's listening and you haven't heard from who your missionary is, you may want to check your spam folder.
Yeah.
Because I heard some missionaries say that their emails were going to spam, and or that the pastor didn't know the name and was just deleting the email. So may want to hunt for those things a little bit as well. That's a great starting point of connecting with who your missionary is. But you can also get to know your missionaries by going on mission trips.
Yeah.
You know, what a concept. As you spend time with people and you get to know them and pour into them, and they're leading your group, they're pouring into you, and then you can have them come when they're on stateside, come and speak at your church. But with today's technology, even the ability to video them in and talk to the congregation, I think there's really no excuse why we shouldn't have missionaries speaking regularly at our churches.
Exactly right. And most of our churches, even smaller membership churches, have the ability and the capability of doing that because we went through this thing called COVID.
That's right.
Most of them, there was some kind of equipment that was purchased. You've done this before. It's a good opportunity to use what you learned during COVID to continue casting the vision for global missions.
That's right. Yeah, and by the way, we offer a Missions Connection event that will be coming up at our state convention the Sunday evening before. And we will have missionaries here that you could come to a dinner and a time to hear those guys. And they'll be at the convention as well, kind of mingling around and meeting pastors and church leaders. That's another opportunity just to connect with missionaries and have them share their story in your church. So, again, I think there's no excuse for us not to have that in front of our people, and that goes back to the vision component, communicating the vision and just having this in front of our people.
Yeah, you know, Clint, I love it when I talk to pastors across the state, and you could tell that they have this heart for missions, especially global missions. Had a conversation with the pastor not long ago, he was approaching a significant anniversary in his church, and the church gifted him with a vacation to several countries in Europe. Here's a heart for missions. He called and said, "Sam, I need you to help me out. We're going to be in these countries on this date. I would love to know who our missionaries are that serve in those areas. Can you get that information? I'd like to reach out to them, set up a time to have coffee, to have a meal, to buy a meal for them, just to bless them." And through some contacts we had, we were able to secure those names for him. And that's a pastor whose heart bleeds for the nations, a globally minded church.
That's right. So as we look at, before we go to number six, let's look back at the first five. Just as a reminder, a globally minded church recognizes that global missions is a commitment of the congregation and communicates that with the church. Its budget and its giving reflect a commitment to global missions. Thirdly, it schedules ongoing or at least annual events to emphasize missions and secures participation in those. Number four, globally minded church leaders continually call out the called to go to the nations. And number five, a globally minded church has missionaries speak regularly at their church. Dr. Sam, what's number six?
Number six, a globally minded church prays corporately or in small groups for missionaries by name. Now, we say by name because there's this generic burden, you know, of Lord, please bless the missionaries. I remember as a kid growing up in a small membership church in Northeast Arkansas, there were a lot of prayers, just Lord, please bless the missionaries. No, yeah. No particular name given. But that's really not a burden at all. Real burdens have names and faces and places. That we need to emphasize that personal aspect of missions. Now, we've given a couple of places where you could go, IMB, NAM, that you can find who those missionaries are. Let me give you one more. We have a good number of church planters in our state, and they would love to have you praying for them, for the ministry, for the burden, for the vision that God has placed upon their heart. You can subscribe to a monthly prayer calendar by going to the church planting site on absc.org and just requesting that. And in your email, you will get at the beginning of the month a calendar that gives you day by day, here are missionaries, here this missionary is having a birthday, this missionary is celebrating an anniversary. This is a particular concern this missionary has, this church planter has. And so I just encourage you to do that. But a globally minded church prays for missionaries by name. Number seven.
Number seven, a globally minded church has missions education for your preschoolers, children, and students in addition to adults. Now, we're talking about missions education. That has changed a lot over the years. But globally minded churches make sure that the next generations know the needs of the world. They teach missions from childhood. In our previous episodes over the last month or so, we have heard segments that have highlighted missions education, the impact that made. Go back and listen to the interviews with Sandy Wisdom Martin and Jeff Ginn. They comment specifically about how they were educated about missions that created a heart for the nations within them because they grew up in globally minded churches.
Yeah, and in just a few weeks on our schedule, we're going to have a full episode on missions discipleship with two of our team members, with Travis McCormick and Debbie Moore. So I encourage you to tune into that one, to listen to that episode once it drops here in a few weeks, a month, something along those lines. I don't have the schedule in front of me. But you'll hear some new directions, some creative ways of doing missions discipleship in the local church, okay?
And it's not just sitting, let me say, it's not just sitting in a classroom. So don't exactly. Put that one off when you see that title.
Exactly. Number eight, a globally minded church adopts an unreached people group to pray for and seeks to reach. Now, every globally minded church may not have taken this step yet, but it does reflect a heart commitment to make a difference. Loving and praying for unreached people groups can change our perspective toward the world. Now, again, there are so many resources for discovering UPGs that are out there. You can go to IMB, Joshua Project, Operation World. Those are three of my favorites. You can also go to the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, the missions page, and if you'll just type in missions praying and giving, MPG, missions praying and giving, and here's what you're gonna discover. We have a complete list that's been provided to us through the International Mission Board of every people group, unreached people group in South Asia and Southeast Asia, and there's a link there for you to adopt one of those people groups. We hope to add more of the affinity groups in the near future. That if there's another area of our world that you are interested in as a church that God's directed your heart to, you keep checking back. We're going to be adding some more of those. Recently, I was at a church in Northeast Arkansas for a mission emphasis who's doing missions well, and I remember seeing there's this incredible visual as you walk down one of the long hallways, big letters spelled out the name of the unreached people group that they had adopted for this year. Wow. And there were several ways to pray for that people group. So you would see people just walking down and stopping, you know? So they keep it in front of the people, communicate that vision, keep it in front of the people. But a globally minded church adopts an unreached people group to pray for and seek to reach.
And we have several churches do a great job of an Acts 1:8 prayer strategy.
Yeah,
where,
exactly.
You know, for four Sundays, one Sunday they're praying for local missions, second Sunday for state, third for national, and fourth international. And then usually that fourth one is an unreached people group that they've adopted. So at least 12 times a year, they're talking about this people group and praying for them. And that ties back into the vision component.
Exactly.
Number nine, a globally minded church knows about, prays for, and seeks to reach the nations around them. We talked recently with Jamie Nairmore on this podcast how God has brought the world to us here in Arkansas. And in some cases, bringing people here who would have little opportunity, if any, to hear the gospel in their home country. Globally minded churches are willing to cross the street to reach others even as they cross the ocean to do the same. They know their community, their region, their continent, and the nation.
Yeah.
And again, they're praying for those. They're seeking to reach the nations that are around them. And their members can describe that commitment. Again, it's that Acts 1:8 commitment where you're serving where you are, and the Lord has brought the nations to us.
Yeah. And if you will look at that missions, praying, and giving page again at absc.org/missions, we also have a list there of all of those UPGs that are represented right here in our state.
Yeah.
There's a complete list that Jamie Nairmore put together a few years ago, and there are ways there that you can adopt one of those UPGs that's right here in Arkansas. You'll also find two volumes of the 15 Days of Prayer for UPGs in Arkansas. Great resource. It's dated a little, but it's still very beneficial if you want a starting off point for how to pray for UPGs that are calling Arkansas home. Hey, we're down to number 10, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Here we go. Let's wrap it up with this one. A globally minded church provides opportunities for members to take mission trips. How about that?
Hey.
Now, here's something to consider. What percentage of the members of your church did you send to do short-term or long-term missions work in the past year? More than one person has noted that churches should evaluate their work not on their seating capacity, but on their sending capacity. That's an incredible point that Chuck makes. And really what is happening with this, it's changing the scorecard for us. You know, when we think about the metrics that we measure as pastors, as church leaders, most of those have to do with the seating capacity.
That's right.
The number of people we have in small groups in Sunday school, the number of people that we have in worship or in our music ministry or our children's ministry or whatever it may be. This is really changing the scorecard. And Clint, I tell you, I like it.
Absolutely.
I love this emphasis of it. We don't do away with the metric of how many people are coming, but we want to track as well the people that we are sending.
Yeah. And I would just encourage you, you know, start small. If you as a pastor can take a trip, you know, say you take a vision trip and you come back, and again, going back to number one, you cast the vision, and you take one person with you.
Yeah.
Or maybe you take one with you on the vision trip, and then you come back, and each of you have a commitment to take one more. And you're just gradually increasing the number of folks that are doing short-term and long-term missions.
Yeah, and as we both know, missions becomes contagious.
That's right.
Because when you go, when you take someone with you, and you come back and you share those stories with others of what you saw God doing, of how faithful God has been, of what the missionaries, the church planters that you're working with, those testimonies, those the truths that they're sharing, the heart that they share, the burden that they have for the people that they're serving, that changes you. And it becomes contagious. And so those stories that you share have a way of just multiplying the number of people that are sent from the church.
That's right.
So, hey, let's just repeat for our listeners. Let me run through the list one time again, then we'll wrap this up. The members of a globally minded church recognize that global missions is a commitment of the congregation. The church's budget and its giving reflect a commitment to global missions. Number three, the church schedules ongoing or at least annual events to emphasize missions. Number four, they continually call out the called to go to the nations. They're willing to give up the best that they have. They have missionaries speak regularly at the church. Number six, they pray for missionaries by name. They have missions education for preschoolers, children, and students in addition to adults. They adopt an unreached people group to pray for and seek to reach. They know about, pray for, and seek to reach the nations that have come to them. And finally, a globally minded church provides opportunities for members to take mission trips. Now, in Chuck's article that you used, Clint, to develop these 10 characteristics, he encouraged church leaders to give a numerical evaluation from 1 to 10 for each of those 10 questions. His article had 10 questions. And that was a way of determining the commitment to the Great Commission and going to the nations within the church. That's a great exercise, and it may be something you want to do as a pastor with your leadership. But what we think would be really beneficial is for you to review this list and choose 1, 2, 3 areas where you could pick up some quick wins to build momentum. So what would you say in wrapping up this episode? What would be a couple of those areas you would encourage folks to really look into?
I would say the first easy win would be to develop a prayer focus. That's something you could add into your service Sunday, whether you take the church planner prayer guide or you adopt an unreached people group. But to begin to create a heart's desire for your people, for the nations, by praying for missions.
Yeah.
Secondly, I would say connect with your missionary. Figure out who your missionary is. That is a multifaceted, where you could have them, yes, come and speak, but you could share their story. You could read a letter from them. You could highlight them. Lottie time at Christmas, tons of opportunities for you there. And then lastly, I would just say begin to develop an Acts 1-8 strategy.
Yeah.
And if we go back to starts with vision, as a leader, lead. Develop that vision. And know that as you begin that process, we're here to help you and
exactly.
Would love to do that.
Exactly.
Feel free to reach out to us at missionize@absc.org or each one of our personal emails that you'll find on our website as well. So thank you for listening today. I encourage you. Leave us a review. Give us a rating. Let us know what we can do better. Shoot us that email. And we look forward to being able to sit down with you again in 2 weeks.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas missions, visit absc.org/missions.